I would ask that Ms. Clayton have a prayer for us.
Again, Father, as we come to you in prayer today, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for this new year, Father, and we ask for special blessings upon this commission. I ask, Father, that you grant them wisdom. I ask, Father, that you would be with each county employee this year, that you would strengthen, that you would be with our health, Father, and that you would, Father, just draw us as a county together. And we will praise you for it.
Amen. Amen. I pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
are we ready to move on to road vacations?
Unless you want to make a little entrance speech, whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll do a recess. And I just want to announce that I'm Mike Schofield. I'm your new presiding commissioner. I want to thank you all for being here, and I appreciate the opportunity to do this job, and I'm humbled to have it, and I'm thankful for all the folks that helped put me here. And I hope that I can establish some good working relationships with all of our county elected officials, and that we'll be able to move forward and have a more open government, county government. That's about all I have, and I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you. All right, I'll move that we go back into session and go to road vacations.
Yeah. Call on Randy Hayes and he'll bring up the attorneys.
Mr. Hayes?
Is this a new road, Randy, or is this is this one that's been waited on for the period of time of statutes?
This is an existing road, and we had made a good alignment on the portion, so
Good morning, Frank.
Just by way of background on this, we have two things we're presenting today. First is for an order relocation to establish, relocate the road to a new location, and then the other is to abandon the old roadway back to the landowner. So what he's brought up here, I believe, is an illustration to help you all
right.
See what's been done to fix what was a dangerous intersection.
Right.
This is the existing portion of Fairview Church Road. This was the new alignment to make a safer entrance. Sight distance wasn't very good here looking to the east on this particular road, so we created
has already been done.
Sight distance, so it's a safety issue.
Has that road already been done?
Yes.
Yeah.
The new part is complete. Yes.
And to answer your question, no, this is one that is new business for the commission today.
Okay.
Right.
And it's actually two parts. The commission, I believe, if there are other minds, can address the actual relocation to the new location today. The second part, which is the abandonment of the old roadway back to the landowner, is one of those things that requires high read.
You read it into the minutes, and then it's got to wait for
exactly.
Next quarter.
And with regard to the first part, the actual actual relocation, I guess this is the opportunity, or at some point today is the opportunity for anyone who wants to raise an objection to make a remonstrance to do so. And in the absence of that, as I understand the law, the commission can preside and can move to enter its order relocating. But Mr. Hayes is prepared not only to present what he's presented, but also he actually went out and posted the required statutory notices of the hearing today, and he has a certificate of notice reflecting that for your consideration. And he's also prepared the report required by the statute regarding what the work would involve and the anticipated cost. So it's those two reports for the commission's file as well.
So, Randy, you have all the correct paperwork for the road relocation?
Correct. And I can present. There is my report. Here is the affidavit on the posting for the petition for a vacant. And then
this has been an extremely dangerous intersection. It's got the dips in it. You go by there every day. I've seen that, Mike. And I'm going to make a motion for approval of the relocate if there's not any other thing that has to be presented.
The only thing I'd suggest is that the commission inquire if there's anyone here who objects to the relocation.
Okay. So that would be
something. Should we get the name of the road that's being relocated?
We will, whenever he asked for the remonstrance for Fairview. Ask if there's anyone that has any objection or has filed remonstrance to the relocate.
Is there anyone here present that has any objections to the relocation of a portion of Fairview Church Road and vacation of the prior roadway? If there's any objections,
I make a motion for the relocate of Fairview Road, and all the paperwork seems to be in place.
Second.
There's been a motion then for a petition for relocation of a portion of Fairview Church Road. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Yeah. Now, he has to read into the record on the abandonment.
When you're ready, what I propose to do is just read the petition. The statutes that deal with abandonment of a roadway require that at the first day of the term, the petition itself be read out loud, and then it's tabled until the next term day, at which point anyone with remonstrance can step forward and raise their objection at that time. But the statutes require that I read this out loud, so if you'll bear with me.
Okay.
This is the petition for relocation of a portion of Fairview Church Road and a vacation of the prior roadway. The undersigned petitioners, pursuant to Section 228.010 at Seek RISMO, hereby request the relocation of a portion of Fairview Church Road and vacation of the prior roadway, and in support thereof state. Each of the undersigned petitioners is a registered voter of Beaver Township. the relocation of Fairview Church Road in Beaver Township requested by petitioners, including the beginning, course, and termination thereof, is described in Exhibit A, which is attached hereto and incorporated by reference. The prior location of that portion of Fairview Church Road in Beaver Township to be vacated is described in Exhibit B, which is attached hereto and incorporated by reference. At least three of the undersigned petitioners are from the immediate neighborhood of the proposed relocation of Fairview Road. The land through which the prior location and the proposed relocation of Fairview Church Road runs is owned by James L. Croson and Linda J. Croson, and they have given the right-of-way for the proposed relocation by a grant of a permanent and perpetual easement for that purpose. A copy of the easement is attached as Exhibit C. Notice of this intended application for relocation and vacation, as required by Section 228.030 RISMO, shall be given by posting notices in three public places in Beaver Township, with one posting at the proposed beginning and one at the proposed termination of the new location of Fairview Church Road. It is in the best interest of the county and the public to relocate Fairview Church Road as requested herein and described in the attached exhibits. Wherefore, the undersigned petitioners request that the County Commission for Taney County, Missouri, grant this application, enter its order relocating the portion of Fairview Church Road from its prior location to the location described in Exhibit A, proceed as described in Section 228.010 to 228.190, and make such other orders as it deems appropriate. Count 2. The allegations of Count 1 are incorporated by reference. The portion of Fairview Church Road described in Exhibit B is useless and of no public utility, and repairing it would be an unreasonable burden upon the district, public, and county. Notice of this intended application for vacation, as required by Section 228.110 RISMO, shall be given by posting notices in three public places in Beaver Township and personal service of a copy of the notice and application on all persons residing in the district whose lands are crossed or touched by the roadway to be vacated. Wherefore, the undersigned petitioners request that the County Commission for Taney County, Missouri, enter its order vacating that portion of Fairview Church Road described in Exhibit B of the petition filed herein and make such other orders as it deems proper. Thank you.
I've got a question. The Fairview Church Road must lay, and I guess this is a question for Randy, it must lay on the section line for Big Creek, Cedar Creek, and Beaver. And it must be on the watershed side of 160. Is that the reason it's Beaver? Because I thought that was on Big Creek.
No, it actually lays in Beaver Township.
Okay.
There's a section, a pretty good chunk, even part of Frank Ray Road is in Beaver Township.
And then it goes to Cedar Creek on...
And then it changes to Cedar Creek.
And then Big Creek's on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Line is just south of there, basically.
Okay.
So
it's where all three tie together there in that same little area pretty well then.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know other questions about it, but I just thought it was... Now, Frank, do we need to make a motion accepting that read into the record, or is it read into the record and then we have to wait till next quarter for approval or disapproval?
Statute simply requires it to be read into the record.
Okay.
That's been done, so now we wait till the next opening day, term day, excuse me. And if no one has a remonstrance and you gentlemen believe it's in the best interest of the public, then you can order it vacated.
So we'll just move on to the next item on the agenda.
Okay, we'll move on to accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 342560 through 342564 and warrants 6132.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to approve checks numbers 34256 through 342564 and warrant 6132. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Just sign it right there. Three of those to sign. Read through those, Brandon. If you want to make a motion on the minutes, we'll let it be mine now.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is approval of previous minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve dates number December 11th, 2014, December 18th, 2014, and December 29th of 2014.
Second.
With corrections.
Second to motion.
Okay, we have a second on a motion to approve the previous minutes for December 11th, December 18th, and December 29th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the HCH deposits. Melanie.
The first ACH order covers transactions processed by the Bank of Missouri. These transactions cover NSF check fees and stop payment fees. With your approval, it will allow the Treasurer to process a manual check anytime during the year of 2015 when said transactions occur.
All right. Is there a motion to approve an order for ACH of bank fees?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The second ACH order covers transactions processed by the ASI Flex Plan. For each transaction and after being notified by ASI, the Taney County Treasurer is to make note of the amount that each employee has withdrawn and record said amount into correct funds. Your approval of this will allow the treasurer to process a manual check any time during 2015 when said transaction occurs.
Move to approve order for ACH of ASI Flex Plan for the year 2015.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Order for ACH of ASI Flex Plan, motion carries.
Thank you.
Additions to personnel policy, that's the next on the agenda.
Do you need a new toner or gum or something? What is it? Is that a special type of paper you bought? You're dipping into your kids'...
I gave him one.
Oh, okay.
Dalmatian
paper?
Been a rough night or something? What is this deal?
Look at this. It's Morse code, I think. Yeah. I'm supposed to try.
Did we not do this last week? Was there additions to it?
No, we had to make sure that the language was correct per the state's.
And correct. In the meantime, what we found is, in researching this, the clerk's office actually found that this excessive force resolution was actually adopted in June of 2002.
Does the language match what's needed for the...
This is exactly, yeah, this...
It does.
This... And this language is actually the same language that my contact person provided me as an example.
So we don't need to take any action? We already have it?
No, we need to put it into the personnel policy manual.
So we have the resolution?
We don't have a policy.
But it's not in the policy?
Correct.
And for clarification, can you tell, so that everybody knows why?
Basically what this is... the county has received a number of different CDBG grants in the past, community development block grants, and as a part of this community development block grant program, they require any entity, whether it's a county or city, they require any entity to adopt a resolution regarding the use of excessive force during nonviolent civil rights demonstrations. And what we found, like upon researching this, is that this actually was originally adopted in 2002. It appears like it was adopted again in 2010, basically, I've provided this to our contact with the Missouri Department of Economic Development, and so this should address his request that we adopt a resolution because it was adopted in 2002. So,
is the requirement for a resolution or the requirement for an addition to the personnel policy?
Now, my understanding is it just requires the resolution.
I don't have any knowledge of it at all.
Yeah.
So it's already in place.
So really, it's already in place.
So we're good to go.
And so, as far as they're concerned, this matches the language identically. I mean, he sent me an example last week, and this is the exact same language.
So we already have something in place that they
and
require.
We can leave it as a resolution and not put it in the manual.
Well, what if Jimmy needs to do something? That was a joke.
He probably needs a copy of it.
Is there anything else? I guess this has been accepted as a resolution 02-617 of excessive force resolution.
But it's not placed in the policy as of right now. So we need a motion to put it into the policy. It has been in the policy in the past, but it's not in there now.
I'll make a motion to...
It's not ever been in a policy. It's never been in the manual.
Okay. Make a motion for to put this, and it's grant monies and has to be in there. I'm making a motion that we put this excessive force policy into the personnel manual.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
No, but
do we rename it as policy?
It doesn't have to be put in the personnel policy. We already meet, everything's kosher, everything's good to go. So if you want to add it to the policy, we can. Not a problem with that. But I just want to make sure you realize that it's already...
I know it's already in there. We do not get her. There's been so much conversation about this CBT grant that if we don't put it in there or they don't see that we've taken some action, we might end up with some penalties or something. So I'm just going to go ahead and put it in there.
Shall I change it to say excessive force policy? Rather than resolution?
We already have the resolution.
Yeah.
So you probably just need to add it to the personnel policy.
That's what my motion is.
Okay.
Whatever number that would be under.
Section 1-2.
Okay. No excessive force. For whatever it says, that language.
And the discussion on it, Brandon, is we revised the policy with all the elected officials here a couple of years ago or something like that. And this may not have been, as a revision, it may not have been transferred over. So. You got a motion and a second.
Do we have all in favor of this excessive force resolution?
Aye.
Be placed in the policy.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the 911 discussions.
Discussion in the past few months about the changes that need to be seen to maintain finances for 911 or increase them, and you asked us to come back after Presiding Commissioner Schofield took his place in the commission. So we're back.
You might refresh his thoughts on the amount of money that you have, the amount of money that this increase would put in there, the budget, how much was budgeted, what was taken out this last year. That way Mike has a more of a feel of exactly what he's voting on.
Okay. The surcharge revenue that was at the 10% for 2014 was $424,926.20. At 15%, that would have been $637,389.30. So that would have been enough to pay all our contracts and contractual agreements, plus the operations of 911 and the administration offices. We paid out all of the Branson contract, which was $226,767,000. Because of the lack of funds, we were unable to meet the contract with the Sheriff's Department Dispatch Center. We paid half of that, and so there was $116,066.16 remaining unpaid. The people within the dispatch center at the Sheriff's Department remain employed, and GCR funded their monies because 911 could not. GCR gave $60,000, whether to be just a loan or kept, is being looked at. That was enough for us to meet our contract with the City of Branson. And you wanted to know, we ended the year at $65,866.06. So we ended that in the positive side because we got that $60,000 from GCR, and then we did not pay the 6 months of the Sheriff's Department contract. My estimates for the end of
To clarify, GCR transferred $60,000 to meet the contractual agreement with the City of Branson.
Correct.
So that $60,000 was used.
Correct.
We then received a later payment from CenturyTel and from the other companies.
Yes.
And that's what made us go back up to the $65,000.
Yes.
So I just wanted to clarify that to where
it's
not like the $60,000 was sitting there and we decided not to. We got it. When did we get it? Late December?
Yes. Okay. Yes. They're on a 30-day delay. So some years we get 11 months of payment depending on their cycle. Some years we've gotten 13 payments. So it just depends on the cycle. We actually ended up increasing that to back up in the good. If the county were to, the commission were to choose to raise the surcharge rates to 15%, this year after the network costs, the admin office and the operations, plus an equipment reserve for emergency purchases, there would be $405,000 and some odd to split between dispatch centers, whether it be whatever percentage it would be chosen at. If you went by 50-50, if you went by more or less than that, depending on the rate of calls, it would just depend on what you chose to do. The sheriff's request and Branson's request together, from what they requested for the 2015 budget, was $452,000 and some odd. That would be over by $47,292.31 over what we estimate that we will receive.
Is that without the increase or with
the increase? That's with the increase.
Okay. I want to make it perfectly clear that the increase has already been voted on by the people
in 1991
and was at 15%. I think when I came into office, I believe the reserve that we had was around 900,000, if I remember correctly, but it has depleted at a more rapid pace of landline usage, faster than we anticipated. As we reviewed this last year, we thought we would get through this year before we ever had to come to this situation. So I want to make it perfectly clear that this has already been a public vote. And the other thing that I want to make clear is this is a cost of about a cup of coffee, which is approximately 80 cents of an increase on a landline, starting with to have a 911 service call per month.
Correct.
And so I want to make all the public aware of all that, because I've heard everything out in the public about increasing your taxes and everything. This has already been voted on by the people.
Correct.
And so I did want to make that perfectly clear before we talk about it.
Do you,
Just to bring up a little history, I'm Chris Barron. I chair the advisory board at 911 that works for you guys. I was on the board when we had 15%, and when it was lowered initially to 12 and then to 10. And it, at that point, it was truly, we had a surplus of close to $1 million, and it really, by the commission, was felt like, what do we need this for? And that's why the changes happened. Really, as the advisory committee had looked at expenses, the expenses had really remained fairly similar throughout the years. They hadn't really jumped that much. It was truly the loss of landlines that has increased the decreased the income that we have for 911. The other thing, it seems a little confusion sometime that I hear out in the public also between dispatch and 911 and call receiving. Really, 911, what we're currently funding, what 911 is, that money, what it's for, is to have the infrastructure, to have the number and have the system there that you can dial 911, and if you, particularly if you call from a landline, that you have a way of knowing where that call is generated from, which answering point it should go to, obviously within the county, but also if it's outside the county, because sometimes you jump counties, particularly with cell phones. And then that there's somebody there to answer that 911 call. That is truly what we're funding with 911 funding. We're not funding to dispatch anybody. We're not funding anything. We're really just funding that somebody is there that picks up that 911 call, and when somebody places that call to answer that, that somebody's there to answer that. Anyway, the other thing that I think sometimes it gets a little confusing when we're looking at statistics of how many calls there are. The Sheriff's Department always, since I've been on the board, has always had roughly about three-quarters of the calls. Branson has about 25% of the calls that are answered. Now, when you start transferring calls back and forth because they made it up in the wrong place or whatever, it's maybe more like 30 and 70%. But it's still, the vast majority lies on the Sheriff's Department. The other thing to remember is when you see how many calls they're answered, there is not one necessarily one 911 call for one incident. Like a car accident, one car accident will generate 40, 50 calls maybe. And so what happens is all of a sudden these dispatchers have to answer all those calls, and it's a very busy time for them, and particularly they do not want people that they can't get through, nobody's answering, that kind of stuff, because obviously people rely on 911. And so...
And they have to answer every one because it might be a separate accident.
Correct. And it may be something different. And so just a couple things to keep in mind. The vast majority does go to Branson, to the Sheriff's Department, the vast majority. And when you see the numbers of calls, you think, well, that's really not that many calls if you divide that up, but it's not equally spread out throughout the day. There will be sometimes where it's relatively quiet, but there is sometimes when the phone just won't stop, too. And again, the reason it went from away from the 15% to 12 and then to 10 was truly, I really feel like, I mean, we were on the board at the time, and with the commission, there was, at the time, the right thing to do, because there was close to $1 million surplus that, and I remember the commission coming to us asking, what do you plan on doing with this? And we had it obviously for some kind of contingency or something, but we really had no direct purpose, and that's why it came about that the taxes were reduced at the time.
But the need is there now, and the fact that there has to be an equipment purchase of new equipment in the next year or two adds to the difficulty of the problem when we talk about 911. That equipment is going to be real expensive, and with all those conversations and all those thoughts in mind, I'm going to make a motion that we raise the tax to 15%.
What would, if there was to be a, you call them PSAPs. What does that stand for?
Public Safety Answering Point.
Public Safety Answering Point. And that's where the phone call actually goes to.
Correct.
Currently we have two.
Correct.
If there was a true consolidation, if everybody were to work together for what's best for not each entity, but what's best for the citizens, how much money would we save?
A minimum of about $250,000.
So if we were to do a true consolidation, we'd save a minimum of $250,000.
Minimum.
And then how much equipment would we have to buy?
We would have to buy no equipment. We already have it.
And then if we had to buy new equipment, do we have two different stations now, though, because we have two different PSAPs?
Yes. For instance, in 2014, I had to buy, two voice recorders, because one for each, and that was $35,000. So that would be...
So you'd only need one?
Correct.
So if we were to do a true consolidation, mm-hmm. we could save money, correct. Have less equipment to buy, because you said we needed to buy new equipment in the next year or so. Is that what you said, Dana?
There's some updates that are going to have to be. Yeah.
I would rather look to working together, county, cities, everybody involved, and figuring out a solution that way, as opposed to raising something that's not going to be a permanent fix. I mean, because that's everything I'm being told is if we raise it to the 15%, it's not going to be a permanent fix. Is that correct?
That's
so we're just kicking the can down the road, as opposed to picking it up and throwing the trash. Is that right?
Yes.
Is there anybody? And I'm new to the 911, and I know there's some gentlemen out here that's part of 911. Is that a true
dispatchers?
I don't think we make $250,000 worth of savings.
Okay.
And I think what we're talking about here, the $250,000 savings would come from currently we're basically paying for five dispatchers for the or call takers for the Sheriff's Department and for the City of Branson. Five being the magic number to cover 24/7 with vacations and everything else. If we combine, I don't think one. So essentially five call takers give us one on duty. So we have one on duty in Branson and one in the Sheriff's Department that answers the call. If we combine, we end up answering more calls. I don't think one person will be able to do that. So do we need another five? Maybe not, but it's not going to be just cutting off five. We will not have that. I think the savings we'll have is... The equipment you mentioned, that clearly would save, and the routing, but the routing is minimal. It's like $170 a month or something like that.
The routing to, let's say, the secondary PSAP is $163 a month. We pay for two circuits into Taney County Ambulance District. So the routing would definitely decrease because we would not have so many trunks going into Branson. Or the sheriff, for that matter, wherever you decided to put it. So, I guess it wouldn't be the true...
Well, and I just asked you questions and you threw out... I mean, so I'm not going to hold you to that, but
yeah.
Is there a way to do research and find out, and quickly do research and find out what we really would save?
Sure.
I mean,
I can do that.
Again, because if it's not going to fix the problem, don't delay the inevitable... I guess is what I'm getting at. And maybe that's not the solution, but there's got to be something out there that is a solution that'll work.
The 15% would allow us a little bit more time, and so that would do that.
But then will we get everybody on board, or are they just going to...
That would be up to the dispatch centers, I guess.
To the PSAPs?
Yes.
Well, no, actually, I think ultimately it's up to you.
Uh-huh.
It is up to you. I mean, we have a 911 advisory board.
I can't say City of Branson or Sheriff's Department get rid of it and move it. I mean, we can't decide to consolidate. It's going to have to be an effort with everybody involved.
Well, ideally,
but ultimately, it's your decision.
You're over 911.
You're the taxing authority over 911, so they are the, let's say, the administrators or the dispatch centers. And the call-taking centers, but ultimately, and under the authority for, like, the vote, calls you the taxing authority, and it calls you the authority for those decisions.
I think the maybe this helps. Currently, the way it's done, you're responsible for 911. You're responsible that 911 calls are being answered. In the current system, what you essentially have done over the years is you contract with two separate agencies and provide funding for five people each to answer those 911 calls. That's really how it is. Now, granted, that's how it, politically, everybody's accustomed to it, and that's how it is. But ultimately, it the way I understand it, it lies with you to make a decision who's going to answer the 911 calls and how that's going to be handled.
Didn't you say that we're still going to be, even if we move to 15%, we're still going to be $47,000 short?
We would be $47,000 short if we paid what the request was from each of the PSAPs for the budget year 2015.
We could still do a 50-50 of over $200,000 each. It just wouldn't be their $225,000 each.
50-50 would be $202,559.03. I've got all the 60-40s, 55-45s, and 70-30s. I've got them all here.
Sheriff, what do you feel should happen with as far as do we need to do a consolidation?
If we do the consolidation, there will have to be an addition of personnel in whichever facility that you decide to have the main PSAP answered in. So you're not going to see the true cost of saving the 202 or whatever thousand it is from the each contract, because there will have to be an addition to that contract to support the wherever it's consolidated to.
But there would be a decrease in the personnel on the side that didn't get the PSAP. Is that correct? You wouldn't be You wouldn't be having five and five, moving the five over and hiring even more. So instead of having a total of 10, you'd have a total of maybe 7.
Is that you'd probably have to have, instead of 10, you'd probably have to still have 9 in order to cover another position in there for 24 hours. So, I mean, you're not looking at a great savings doing that. The pluses are is there would be some savings to it. It wouldn't be a great amount. Negatives to it, currently, with having the two different PSAP systems, we do have a rollover and a backup system, so if one goes down, the other, it automatically rolls to the next one. So you would be losing your redundancy and your backup system if you went to just one answering system.
Do you have that only with the 911 systems that are for the sheriff and the city, or could you have a rollover to the ambulance district, which has a PSAP itself, or is there another one that you would not lose the capability of losing the 911 system?
Currently, whether City of Branson gets overloaded or the sheriff's office gets overloaded, it will roll over to one of those two first. Mm-hmm. Either if the sheriff's office is overloaded, it'll roll to the City of Branson. If they're unable to answer it, then it'll roll to the TCA. Same way with Branson. If they get overloaded, it'll roll to us. If we're unable to answer, then it can roll to TCA. If we do away with Branson as a secondary, and if we continue having a PSAP in TCA, it could roll to them, or you could roll it to another 911 agency in an adjoining county as a backup if you decided to, if they would agree to do that with you.
I think there's enough confusion the way it is not to have it go to another county.
Right. But that is an option that you can do. Right.
The problem with the other county would be now they have a 911 call, but what do they do with it?
Right.
Right.
You said that the function of 911, the money's there is for the equipment and for the actual answering of the 911 calls, not for necessarily dispatch.
That is correct.
But does the person that answers the 911 call not turn around and dispatch?
That's more, I guess, a Jimmy question. In reality, probably to some
degree. In reality,
degree,
yes.
But Jimmy,
and not to, I mean, I'm just trying to.
Well, because the reality is Jimmy has two dispatchers on duty. That car wreck on 65 we're talking about, when all those calls come in, the reality is both of them will answer 911. So really,
in that situation, technically, we're only paying for one of those dispatchers
correct.
Through 911, and
right.
the Sheriff's Department's paying for the other.
Correct.
Through the budget.
Okay.
And so then, if the other one actually ends up dispatching a call once in a while,
okay.
I think in the...
And you got to realize, too, with the 911 call, they're not just dispatching one person. They're dispatching, you know, if it's a wreck on 65, with injuries, they're going to be transferring the call on over to TCA to get them going. They're going to be dispatching the fire department with the rescues. They're going to be sending it to the highway patrol. They're going to be getting our law enforcement going. So it's an extremely busy time when something like that happens. And, you know, two dispatchers in there is not enough at those times.
I don't know, do you want to hear anything from the advisory board, but going through the tax, going with the sales tax would have changed really everything because it would have been truly a complete dispatch, not just a call taking, and it would have ended up having its own standalone elected board. But the way we are right now, something really does need to be done, and what you alluded to, kicking the can down the road versus coming up with a solution. I'm with Judy.
That's okay.
If we would raise the tax, I think it would just give us, I guess, a little more time. And I'm still with you. We should probably research, maybe a little more closely, those options to consolidate. Would that really benefit us? Would it be the right thing for citizens of the county? One thing to think about right now, if somebody in the city of Branson picks up 911, and particularly from a landline, they will go straight to their dispatch. Versus if we change that, then they would go to whatever single answering point we would have, and then gets transferred from that. So, you know, we're going to add another step in there. Is that really the right thing to do?
So right now, if somebody in Branson calls 911 and they need a fire, they go to Branson Fire Department. Do they not have to transport to there anyways, or does it automatically?
No.
It'd be right there.
Yeah, Branson dispatchers dispatch their phone
fire,
so it goes
Whereas,
right into their.
If a call comes here, the Sheriff's Department then has to transfer to Western Taney County, or do they dispatch?
No, we dispatch for
so
Western.
So could the agreement not be made, and this is what I'm saying, where everybody have to be cooperative, could the agreement not be made that Taney County would dispatch Branson Fire, or is that not a...
To
get rid of that step. I mean,
in a true consolidation, where you consolidated all the dispatchers
right.
and everything, then yes, that would work. But the only thing you're doing is just asking to load that much more work on our people that's already overloaded. So, yeah.
So a true consolidation would be, it wouldn't be, the PSAP wouldn't be the Sheriff's Department, PSAP wouldn't be Branson, PSAP wouldn't be anybody, it'd be its own.
Well, and you'd be consolidating, dispatching everything, not just the 911 system. If we consolidate not just the 911 system to one area, then wherever those calls go is going to have to go to the dispatch that has it. Whereas if we was doing a true countywide consolidation of dispatch centers, you would have all your dispatchers in one area with the 911 coming into those dispatchers, and everything would be dispatched out of that area. A true consolidation of dispatch and 911 would be a big benefit.
And can we not do that with the current funds we have coming in from 911?
No. I don't believe it.
But if it'd be a huge benefit, would it be something that could work towards?
I think the one step that we're going to run into, what facility you put it in, because you will have to. Currently, there are seven dispatchers on duty in the county. And you could maybe lower them a little bit, but you couldn't just like go to two. That's not going to work. So you need a bigger facility that anybody has. Branson, Sheriff,
we got all kinds of space at the Judicial Center.
Well, we looked for that space.
Oh, courtrooms.
Yeah. I know.
Jury rooms.
We can move a judge into the hallway.
Yeah.
We know one of that when we talked about the tax. And I think what I'm afraid of, you're going to end up doing, have to build a facility. And that's where...
I don't know. You guys are the experts. I can't imagine having to build a facility. I just can't imagine that. But again, I haven't done enough research on it to...
If you didn't build, you'd have to buy or rent.
But I guess my point is you would think there'd be something available within the county system to do it, to house it.
How about this room?
There's just three of us here. We can go upstairs. I don't care. I mean, these are all questions that I have.
No, those are good questions.
Because I feel like maybe it was kicked down to us.
It was kicked up to you because ultimately, so we're delegating up.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
The fact of the matter is the biggest complaint that was in the public was the building of the facility, not the need for 911, not the consolidation of 911, but the building of a large facility that the people rebelled against, whether it be all the information they needed at the time or what. But that's what I heard constantly in the public whenever I was promoting 911. 911 is essential to me and my family and people who live here, that if I have anybody that I know in a car accident, or we need the sheriff, or we need have a fire, I mean, I cannot see people turning down 911. I can see the point that we ask for too much. We ask for a facility, we ask for all the other things, but the 911 system itself, and am I correct in saying that we're the only one that doesn't have a tax on cell phones in the United States? We're the only state in the entire country that doesn't have a tax on cell phones. That's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned.
But even a tax on the cell phones wouldn't create enough funds to pay the 911.
No.
For our area, because of the tourism, I think I said this two or three weeks ago, we have to service as if we are a county of 250,000, 300,000 people. So the cell phones still wouldn't generate enough income.
No, so because it goes back to the billing location.
Right. So the ultimate solution is a sales tax.
And when you go talking about the facility being a problem, you got to realize if you're consolidating all your dispatch and all your 911 into one facility, that facility has to be a facility that they don't have to evacuate in case of a tornado. Branson PD had to evacuate their facility whenever the tornado came through down there because it was coming at their facility. So they was off air. You don't want your 911 system at the time a tornado's hitting to be off air for 20, 30 minutes.
I understand that, Jimmy, and you understand it. But the public has a perception.
Yeah.
As I had the article in the paper read to me several times about Danny Strahan wanting to increase our taxes of a cup of coffee a month for our people to be covered if we have an accident, a fire, or whatever. And I had people sitting in the convenience stores and the restaurants reading that to me about me wanting to increase a tax. I'm wanting protection for all Taney County citizens. I'm not talking about the facility or whatever. I see the need myself, but the public said no. Mm-hmm. And so we have to look for a different recourse. And the recourse to keep this operating without taking money out of general county revenue, which keeps all of the rest of our county operating, is to increase that tax of 80 cents per landline per month and put it into motion and then look for a solution to the problem. So that's where I'm at with the motion that I've made, and it died for lack of a second. But anyway, That's where I'm...
Well, and I don't disagree with any of that. I just want to make sure we look for a solution and don't just, you know... Well, we got a temporary fix for a couple of years now. Let's... We'll worry about it then.
We won't have it for a couple of years. We won't even have it for the end of this year. We have $47,000 worth of difference this year, so we have to start looking.
That's what I mean. I still want there to be an effort.
So,
anybody else have anything? Words of wisdom? I'm looking at you two. What do you want to do, Danny?
I want to make a motion to reinstate the 15% that was voted on by the people for the 911 surcharge.
Second.
There's been a motion for to increase the 911 surcharge to 15%. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I hope that we can research this more and come up with maybe a steering committee of some type to...
Would you like the advisory board and myself to work on that,
the
research?
Yes.
Who all is involved with the actual, the 911 sales tax board also? Because there are some different members.
That was the stakeholders.
The stakeholders,
the large group, yes.
Let's try to get everybody involved.
Do you...
And I'd
be glad to do
them.
That. Do you want us to first gather some figures, bring them to you before we do that? Or
yeah, that's fine. And I mean, you know, we don't need to hire an outside firm to figure it out. I think we got enough smart people in this county that we can figure it out.
We got all this.
So.
There's for the people that weren't involved in that, that don't know, when we had the advisory board, we had anywhere from 30 to 40. 50 people sitting in a room with all the opinions that were dished out to try to come up with a solution on this problem. So, and my motion, and you said to increase, mine is to reinstate, and I want that put down, the vote of the people to 15%.
That's what I've got.
Okay.
Do you want me to move forward? I know you're not done with the budget for this year yet. Will you set those amounts for the PSAPs as to their requested amounts, or will we be using a different amount? Do you know?
You just said we don't have enough.
Correct.
To even give the requested amounts.
Yes.
Close.
Yeah.
That's a discussion we need to have.
Okay.
Need to have, and bring us some figures that of recommendations, and we would like to see how much went both locations, 50% split, according to the calls, that split, however you want to do that, but you bring all that information to us so that we can make a good decision for the citizens of the county.
I will do that.
Budget discussion, I think, will be on Thursday. So you probably bring it during that time.
Okay. I will have that done. I've got most of it done already. So.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Next on the agenda is amendment to pictometry agreement.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I come today to request that the commission move forward with the second part of our agreement with pictometry and it has been amended to give us a cost savings because of intergovernmental agreements that we have with the Corps of Engineers and the City of Branson. And we are in a, at least get us on the schedule. We have a short time frame of trying to get this done prior to leaf coming on the trees.
Do you have an agreement with the SIR department also, the SIR district?
Not at this time. We don't, okay. Not because in the past, prior times, we were joined then, so, but I'll be glad
right.
to put,
we I think put we one. Need to look at having them share a cost of it
sure.
because they're going to have a need for it
that
also.
Is correct. Yes.
And so it would save big time
yes.
to the county and each one of the others split four ways instead of three. And I'll make a motion to approve this agreement with the possible addition of the SIR district.
I'll move forward on that.
Does this agreement give specific numbers?
Yes, it does.
So then we'd have to redo the numbers anyway.
This is time sensitive, the way I understand it.
So we get on the schedule of the flight, yes.
Has Frank looked over this yet?
Pardon?
I have. I've approved it.
Yes, he has.
What I said on the SIR district board also, and the SIR district's talking about a large portion share of this because they're having the need is there. And so their name hasn't been added to this, but if this is time sensitive that we get on the flight, basically right. catch the plane. So that's the reason I wanted to make the motion to approve what has already been approved. This is just a secondary contract with them because at one time the county was...
We had a contract for two flights. This would be the second flight. Mm-hmm. We did amend it because of some cost savings with these other entities to share
it's
when
sharing
they fly.
Of information.
Pardon?
It's sharing of information, right?
Yes.
So we could always share the information with SIR and then they could turn around and reimburse.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that all right?
Yes. I didn't know anything about adding an entity, but I know that this amends an existing agreement
right.
to save us money over leaving the old agreement in place.
Right.
As far as a new one, I don't see anything that prevents us, if need be, entering into another one subsequent to get the SIR district to pay back a share of reimbursements.
Right.
Particularly if we address it before the service is actually rendered.
That is correct.
But let's get on. The option would be to approve it today so we can get on that flight.
That's right.
Catch the plane.
Yeah.
Well, we're full of analogies today.
Yeah, we are.
Second.
We have a motion to amend the pictometry agreement, and now we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Court orders. I understand there are no court orders. Next on the agenda looks like an executive session. Personnel per section 610.021.3 of the revised Missouri statutes. Do we have a motion for?
And that'll take place up in our conference. Room.
Upstairs?
Yes, and I'll make a motion that we go into executive session 610.021.3 for personnel.
Second.
All in favor?
Danny, aye.
Brandon, aye.
Mike, aye. We'll recess at this time. Can we turn this off?